Our next presenter is the Director of Web Marketing for Media Monitors, RCS, and Florico Systems. All companies are under the Clear Channel umbrella. Responsibilities include marketing, advertising, promotion, and trade show events. Our presenter is an associate member of the Society of Broadcast Engineers, and holds a degree in business marketing from the University of Nebraska. Please welcome Diana Stokey.
Thank you, Greg. Double click is back. Wayne Gretzky, widely regarded as one of the best hockey players in history, says he was successful because he skated to where the puck was going to be, not where it had been. Steve Jobs used this reference when he described Apple's strategy. He then went on to continue. We try to understand as we developed our product roadmap what's going to be exciting in the future, and that's one of the advantages we have over our competitors. Our competitors tend to put the crosshairs on where we are now, and by the time they come up with a product that tries to match where we are, we've gone beyond them. We're one or two generations ahead, moving faster than they are. It has often been said that we can't predict the future, unfortunately. We watch trends, learn from history, and apply these lessons to our roadmaps, both personally and professionally. Radio has been with us for around 100 years. Think how the technology has grown as radio has entertained us, educated us, kept us informed, and brought us together in good times and bad. My perspective in radio is from the automation, music scheduling, and traffic and news software side of the house. RCS has been working with engineers for almost 35 years, and I have been working with engineers for 12. When I first started, satellite radio was new, and the iPad wasn't available. Now you can stream satellite radio on your iPad, along with tens of thousands of radio stations, anywhere, anytime. How that tube radio has changed, along with the methods and delivery for radio. To define the future of radio engineering is not an easy task, especially now considering the economy, global broadcast regulations, corporate planning, consumer expectations, heck, even the weather, and you can easily go into the bushes. In order to narrow down our subject matter, I interviewed a group of engineers to gauge their perceptions on the industry and the future of their profession. Some chose to remain anonymous, but had heartfelt responses and passionate opinions, especially when we talk about the next generation, while others were comfortable sharing their names as well as their opinion. The overwhelming response of answers fell into three main categories: technical challenges, career strategy, and more with less. Technology is a blessing and a curse. I'm sure many in this room have felt that often. Engineering used to be hardware-centric, but that has changed in the digital age. Hardware is still the base of everything, but the great thing about software-based systems is the ability to make changes, to add functions to a system. In a very short time frame, an update can be accomplished with the download of a new file and a reboot. How will software continue to change the life of the engineer? Engineers will continue to use troubleshooting skills. However, it is no longer common to fix a part with your experience and a toolbox. Now you have to check software revisions, update drivers, make sure everything is compatible between the existing hardware and the software, do the download, install your update, reboot, and hope everything still works. In most cases, things are fine, but once in a while, it takes a bit of testing to find out if there are any bugs. Run through these troubleshooting steps that are provided, complete your software checks, call your vendor, and then send in the board to be fixed or wait for an update. Component-level repair is in the rearview mirror. The engineering position is increasingly headed towards IT, where most broadcast engineers spend many hours of their week working on or with computers. Even the transmitters now have servers built into them. Although there is still a need for strong RF skills, the transmitter hardware has become so much more reliable over the years that the attention to the RF skill set is almost taken for granted. Even the audio systems are now IP-based, with audio over IP, and require knowledge of IP switch technology and the overall IT topology instead of just a mixer and a sound card. Future engineers will be software Sherlocks. Virus detection software captures issues before they hit your infrastructure. Finding these little destroyers will take a new type of engineering muscle, one that knows the difference between software infections that often come in different types, such as worms, Trojan horses, direct action viruses, and a host of others. It's a scary world out there. When I spoke to Scott Trask from Lincoln Financial Broadcasting Group in Atlanta, Georgia, he felt that software is changing his job. He felt that this is 80% for the positive, 20% for the negative. Web-based applications are more common now, from the transmitter to the automation system to traffic, Scott said, to the way he's communicating with his team. Scott is seeing a trend, however, in his group to use free software, open source software, wherever it's possible to save some money. Some of this is untested and unproven and has the potential to save management money. However, he cautions, it carries costs in the long run. His cluster is experimenting with Google apps that are cloud-based to replace a server-based email system, for example. Many pieces of radio technology equipment have a tablet application to go with it. Security and HVAC systems, as well as radio automation, mixer functions, VPN, and telecommuting now have to be managed the availability with a smartphone or a tablet application. This trend is going to continue to expand. There are over 650,000 different apps in the Apple App Store alone. RCS has three of these for our automation and scheduling products, and other vendors do as well. And we are being asked for more and more functionality and options from the engineer all the time. The desire in future applications is mobile, mobile, mobile. More bang for the buck, with a sturdy backbone to handle the load. With the aid of products like VPN, UltraVNC, Pocket Cloud, Mocha, Remote Desktop, RCS Remote, a lot of these other applications are now able to watch your station's live log from anywhere. If you're at home or vacation or your kid's wrestling tournament, you can see how the log is progressing, and if you're responsible for running the board, you know when and where you need to take action. When I spoke to Harv Hedrickson from Northwest Media, he hasn't been impressed so far with the GUI he has seen. According to Harv, Windows 8 comes closer to the blotchy and blocky tablet and portable device GUI. Harv believes that this will find some pushback, though, from the Windows, Office, and Mac environments. There is a need to retain the application and task-specific efficiency of traditional Windows, and this will be validated by resistance to Sol Windows 8. At lunch today, we were even talking about Windows 8 and how no one's looking forward to that. Tablets, this is a growing market share. A recent survey that was conducted here in the US by SpotTarget found an increase in tablet ownership of nearly 87%, combined with a smartphone take-up increase of 22%. Compare this to last year, and 48% of respondents spent more time listening to internet radio on their tablet device, and 38% spent more time listening on a mobile device. As the consumers grab hold of new devices to make their lives more connected, so our ways of delivering and receiving everyday content is being reshaped. Radio is but one of these everyday concepts that are being delivered in new and fresh way. It's a concept that's rapidly changing, especially in emerging markets. Cars are also getting connected with onboard internet access. Market research firm iSupply said it expects a surge in worldwide shipments of car Wi-Fi systems to be 7.2 million units by 2017. That's up from just 174,000 in 2010. And AutoNet Mobile, who claims to be the first internet-based platform for audio market, has over 10,000 units already in the US. They charge about $29 a month, which is similar to Sirius XM radio. With all this information going about on the internet, there comes the problem of congestion. These portable devices are hogging internet bandwidth. Congestion comes into play. The public internet availability is very attractive and low cost, but it is sometimes hard to get good quality of service because it is used by so many. And the same is true for cellular data. For example, if we want to route our data traffic on a path with the best quality of service, this path can become congested like a highway lane. If something bad happens, our quality of service goes down, and we have to find an alternate route. Data throughput and consistency can start to fail, and we want to reroute this for a better quality of service. Here's an example. Let's say we normally route our traffic through a dedicated microwave STL that we own. It works great until a bird builds a nest in our parabolic antenna and it covers our signal strength and it falls off. Then we want to route this data through a VPN over the public internet to our transmitter site. The public internet typically offers good throughput, but it's often less quality of service than our microwave link. However, since the bird changed that for us, we have to deal with it by finding an alternate route with better quality of service than we currently have. We are all connected. Where is radio automation headed? As cost reductions in operations continue throughout the industry, the ability to automate operations has become even more important. The need to incorporate data services along with the playback system for the full listener experience with title and artist and now album artwork is very important. Again, when I spoke to Harv Hendrickson, he talked about the future. Harv sees a continued use of radio automation. Automation augments the in-between hours of broadcasting. That's not to say it's less important, but Harv still believes that live and local is of our prime importance. The cloud gets a person away from a lot of wire, Harv said, and it's a direct portal to the consumer. Access becomes much easier for the consumer and the use of technology. Automation will continue to be the workhorse of the station as more services will be required in a hub and spoke fashion. And automation systems may not even need a mouse and keyboard in the future. A company called Leap represents an entirely new way to interact with your computers. As you can see from the screenshot here, it's more accurate than a mouse and is reliable as a keyboard, but it's sensitive as well. For the first time, you can use your hands, as seen here, to type, swipe. Pretty cool. The setup is pretty intuitive, they say. It just needs a USB plug-in, and there you go. Quick wave of your own hand, and you're calibrated and ready to rock. Talk about being a software Sherlock. Internet streaming, on-demand programming, terrestrial broadcasting. How does this all play into your business model? That's a loaded question. Currently, the money-making piece of the business is still the terrestrial broadcast, and this will be the case for many more years to come. However, having your station or show available via a live stream or digital download podcast is very important as the smartphone and other mobile devices become a commodity in everyday activities. When was the last time you left home without your smartphone? Did you feel like you were missing everything? Today at lunch, we joked that everyone was on their phone and we weren't even talking to people. That's how important these things have become. Station engineers will be responsible for more and more streaming stations, podcasts, and programming demands. Exporting this content in the proper format and quality will require additional resources from the engineer. The smartphone has really added the ability to create better content on the fly. Most television stations already have an app that allows their viewers to upload on-the-scene video of just about anything newsworthy, car accident, fire, anything to do with sporting events. While this may or may not make better sounding content, it sure adds many more on-the-scene reporters to the content creation world. Radio can do the same thing. And the sound quality has to remain high. Orban and Omnian processors and other high-quality audio sources are an investment in technology that makes radio a professional production, be it terrestrial or over the internet. Training for tomorrow. This is an issue that continues to plague the broadcast engineering profession, as radio is not as sexy as it once was for the younger people. Most of the engineers in the business have been in it for quite a while because they had the passion for the industry when they started. With IT as a career, though, many young techies have moved on to this world because they may not have to be on call 24/7, 365 like a radio engineer. That being said, a few larger companies have gone to growing their own when it comes to the next engineering hire by adding paid internships in conjunction with local or regional colleges, and also the addition of engineering management programs by a couple of the large broadcasters using the Society of Broadcast Engineering education programs and in-house engineering expertise to mentor the next engineers of our industry. The radio industry is facing an aging workforce and increased competition with other industries. Tom Cox, Senior Vice President of Engineering at Clear Channel Media and Entertainment, spoke to me about this and he explained the two-prong approach that Clear Channel is taking to ensure their engineering needs are in the future. These are in Tom's own words. Our Market Engineering Manager Development Program identifies personnel already within our ranks that have the aptitude and desire to grow into market engineering managers. This is a two-year program that offers both formal education and field engineering opportunities to provide expedited exposure to situations and experiences that a typical market engineer may only see once in their career. Each program is customized to the specific educational needs of the candidate. The candidates are given leadership and technical training and are in the field for 1 week per quarter to assist with major engineering products, such as radio facility relocations and RF system design and construction. They get to work side by side with their peers, as well as the best and brightest engineers Clear Channel has to offer. The second piece of the program Clear Channel is offering is called an engineering co-op program that is seeking out sophomore and junior level electrical engineering and electrical engineering technology students interested in a career in communications, and it offers them full-time employment after the semester they graduate. They currently partner with 5 universities in the States with strong cooperative education programs and are looking to expand the program to others in the future. The goal at Clear Channel is to hire these students and grow them with inside the company. They are placed immediately into the MevDev program and continue their education and accelerate their growth toward a leadership position. I have a very good friend who's in this program as well, and he was just promoted within Clear Channel, so it is actually working. Again, are there enough engineers? No, I bet everybody in this room would agree with that. Increased competition and getting our ranks taken away from attrition and just no one interested in working the long, hard hours is taking the toll. We need more engineers. Paul McLean, the editor of Radio World, who is with us today, wrote in his August 15th issue on the need for these engineers. He highlighted the Alabama and our Wisconsin Broadcasters Association efforts to host workshops addressing this shortfall. Paul interviewed Wisconsin Broadcaster Association President, Vice President Linda Bond, who told Radio World in the interview, "The question where the next engineer is coming from really rests on us to grow our own. The return on this program is not measured in money, but rather in the knowledge and the seed planted to ensure the future of the broadcast engineer." I think that's something we all believe in. Radio, old and obsolete, are we ready to reinvent ourselves yet again? The point is that radio continues to reinvent itself. From AM to FM, to stereo, to satellite, in HD, to internet, to iHeartRadio, what's next? As more and more cell phones get radio, and the NAB continues to fight for that, we need to make sure our listeners know about it. Radio is just one method of content distribution that drives our industry today. It's not just about towers and transmitters anymore. Digital program streams, mobile apps, HD radio, and data distribution all make a big part of the future of our business. We face exciting challenges and opportunities every day to develop and implement new distribution platforms to stay on the cutting edge and to ensure our content gets to the largest number of users possible. Harv said that radio has to mean live and local. Localism will win the day if done right. People want to know what's going on. Radio delivers that information, especially when it's a live fashion. When there's a threatening storm, who do people turn to? Radio. The medium still reaches hundreds of millions of listeners monthly. Because of that reach, the advertisers are still there, putting their products and services in the front of the listeners. Our engineering efforts are critical to that goal. We know where radio has been, we know where radio is, and we get to determine where radio will go. This is a laundry list of ideas that I thought might be a good idea to ponder. There's no reason radio couldn't use video on these new technologies. What about personalized ads based on social media likes? Personalize your news, weather, sports, traffic. Create your own channel, similar to what iHeartRadio is doing. Make your ads mobile on your device to where your location is at. Send them a coupon if they're there close to your GPS setting. Agility. And cell towers, transmitter towers. Maybe there won't be a difference. One scenario I do see coming to life is the magic of personalized ads being heard on the radio. On both your smartphone, which will be able to tune in radio from anywhere in the world, to your car, which will encompass a new system that will include video feeds, your entertainment systems are deeply tied to radio. Radio will tie closer to social media and internet history to target areas that meet your demographical interests. Radio will know your personalized interests. What about sending a pool of personalized video, visual and audio commercials to your radio and entertainment device? Called upon in the log, these commercials are directed at you, not just your demographic, but you. And with geospatial information, you can play ads as you travel and are near your proximity. How many of you in this room have heard of Project Glass? Paul? Four of us. I had the opportunity to give this speech at the Central Canadian Broadcast Engineers in Ontario a couple weeks ago, and there were two in the room that knew about it there, and four here. So, Project Glass is something new that Google's doing. It has plans to launch display glasses that they have codenamed Project Glass. That follow this thought process. Project Glass is a research and development program to develop an augmented reality hardware-mounted display. You can see that in the picture here. They are like spectacle frames that have built-in smartphones, cameras, microphones, communication systems, computing power, and a heads-up display. According to one of the blogs I read, they said that they were going to use a transparent LCD monitor to put information in front of your eyes. And as you're walking around, it's all location-based, and thanks to the camera and the GPS, you can scroll and tilt your head and maneuver the information that way. They say it's going to be pretty easy to master. There's also a voice input and output attached to the glasses. At the New York Fashion Week this last September, Google had their glasses on the runway, as you can see on the woman on the left. Why let Google take our cake and eat it too? As we have discovered, technical challenges will only increase in the future of the radio engineer, as more and more functions will be required with less support and budget allocations. Filling the intellectual pool with qualified engineers will continue to be a challenge that can't be ignored. Scholar and author John M. Richardson Jr. is famous for saying, "When it comes to the future, there are three kinds of people: those who let it happen, those who make it happen, and those who wonder what happened." What kind of person are you? Thank you. I want some of those glasses. That'd be pretty cool. No questions? I appreciate your time and consideration. Thank you. Have a good show.